This is Torah 101 Daily. The Parasha Vayigash, meaning he approached, sons of Israel, approaching Yosef, Yehuda, Judah, here pleading with Yosef, though he doesn't know it's Yosef at this point. Yosef appears to be a prince of Egypt, and Yehuda pleading that he wouldn't be required to leave Binyamin, the youngest brother, the direct brother of Yosef there in Egypt. He wants to leave himself, rather, as a substitute. We pick up the story in Genesis 44, verse 31. Yehuda saying this: when he sees that the boy isn't with us, that is, his father Israel, back in Canaan, he will die. And your servants will bring the gray hair of your servant, our father, down to Sheol, the grave, with grief. Remember, Jacob has been through many losses, the losing of his wife, Rachel, at an early age, the one he worked for all those years, for her father, Laban, only to lose her early in life. And then the loss of his son from Rachel, Yosef. In a way, Yosef was Jacob's firstborn son of his true wife. And now Yehuda and his brothers recognizing that if their father loses Binyamin, the other son of his chosen wife, Rachel, that it would be just too much grief for him to bear. Isaiah 53 is a very well-known prophecy concerning the coming Messiah, but how he would first come to suffer for the sins of his people. But there are other parallels in that prophecy that I'm sure you're familiar with. If you're not, you can just read through that section of Isaiah 52 and 53, where it seems to apply to not only the people of Israel, but also the man Israel. The description, a man of sorrows, being acquainted with grief, is a description that has followed the people of Israel down through the generations. And here we see Yehuda describing his own father as a man of grief, acquainted with sorrows. Verse 32, for your servant himself guaranteed his safety. I said, if I fail to bring him to you, then I will bear the blame before my father forever. Therefore, I beg you, let your servant stay as a slave to my Lord instead of the boy, and let the boy go up with his brothers. Remember, at this point, Binyamin is an adult and he's got children of his own. So he's just being referred to as the youngest of the brothers here, not literally a little boy. Yehuda was by tradition considered to be superior physically in his strength, in battle, and in service, that from the Midrash. So clearly he is a better deal for Egypt to have than for Benjamin to stay. So they can't figure out why this prince of Egypt would want Benjamin anyway. So Yehuda is kind of rationalizing with him, saying, in a way, look at me. I'm much more of a value to your work here in Egypt. He's using his father to explain, in truth, that he doesn't want his father to bear the loss of his youngest son. For how can I go up to my father, verse 34, if the boy isn't with me? I couldn't bear to see my father so overwhelmed by anguish. Chapter 45 and verse 1, at last Yosef could no longer control his feelings in front of his attendants and cried, get everybody away from me. The ancient rabbis taught that this was so he wouldn't embarrass his brothers in front of the Egyptians. So he asks all to leave, the Egyptians to leave his presence. So no one else was with him, it says, when Yosef revealed to his brothers who he was. Verse 2, he wept aloud, and the Egyptians heard, and Pharaoh's household heard. Verse 3, Yosef said to his brothers, I am Yosef. Is it true that my father is still alive? His brothers couldn't answer him. They were so dumbfounded at seeing him. Yosef said to his brothers, please, come closer. And they came closer. He said, I am Yosef, your brother, whom you sold into slavery. Here now Yosef is revealing himself, his true person, his true character, who he really is. Verse 4, Yosef said to his brothers, please come closer. And they came closer. He said, I am Yosef, your brother, whom you sold into slavery. The Midrash teaches that he said to come closer because he saw them drawing backwards. He said, now my brothers are embarrassed. And so he called them tenderly and pleadingly and showed them that he was circumcised. That's from Genesis Rabbah. So he proves to them who he is. Now keep in mind that Yosef is a picture here of Yeshua, the Messiah. Remember that the sons of Israel here are the patriarchs of the Jewish people. They represent the leadership of the tribes. And if you recall, the reason that Yosef initially was betrayed by them, cast into a pit and sold as a slave, was because of their jealousy. And if you remember, it was because of envy that the leaders of first century Jerusalem rejected him because of the multitudes of Jewish people who had received him and were receiving him even as the Messiah. It's important to point that out, that the Jewish people at the time did not reject Yeshua. As a matter of fact, they embraced him wholeheartedly, and that is what created the envy, the jealousy among the leaders of the people, who in turn betrayed him and turned him over to the Roman authorities. So here we see Yosef calling them tenderly, pleadingly, with love and mercy for them. Though rejected initially because of jealousy, the first time he attempted to lead his brothers, the second time he is recognized now, but he's in his glory, in a manner of speaking, Yosef is in a glorified state, a different state, in the splendor of his Egyptian garb and surroundings, where they don't recognize him until he opens their eyes to the reality. And there too, someday, Yeshua will come in his glory, not in the same way that he came the first time as a suffering servant. As I've mentioned in previous studies, there are references in the Talmud that speak of two messiahs, one coming as a suffering servant, the Mashiach ben Yosef, the Messiah, son of Joseph, or like unto Joseph, and then the Mashiach ben David, the Messiah, the son of David, like unto David, the king. So the connection, even from the early rabbis, between Yosef and the coming suffering Messiah, the first time he was passed over, but the second time he will be acknowledged as the Savior of the people of Israel. This is something that, again, as I've mentioned before, we've seen and we'll see in the story of Moses, rejected the first time as he attempted to bring about justice among the people of Israel. And then they said, "Who are you?" He spent 40 years in the wilderness as a shepherd until finally he came a second time and delivered them from Egypt. In the same way, Yosef, and in the same way, Yeshua, who will come again a second time in glory and will reveal himself tenderly and lovingly to the sons of Israel. Verse 5, "Don't be sad," he says to them, "that you sold me into slavery here, or angry at yourselves, because it was God who sent me ahead of you to preserve life." The great prophecy of Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, I'll read it here. "I will pour out on the house of David and on those living in Jerusalem, a spirit of grace and prayer, and they will look to me whom they have pierced. They will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. They will be in bitterness on his behalf, like the bitterness for a firstborn son." Interesting parallel. Yeshua being known as the only begotten son. Yosef being recognized by his father Israel as his firstborn, in a manner of speaking, because he was the firstborn of Rachel, his true wife. But that someday Messiah will appear, and although the nation will be in mourning, that's why we believe he may return sometime in the future on Yom Kippur, which is a day of mourning, fasting, and introspection in Israel and around the world to the Jewish people. But here we see Yosef not willing to allow them to suffer over it. He tells them, don't be sad. It was God, he tells them. It was part of the plan of God, as is all the suffering we go through in life. God is in it. He's using it. He has a purpose in it. And eventually we will see it. God sent me ahead of you, he says in verse 5, to preserve life. The word savior means life preserver. He's saying that I am here to save you. The suffering of the Messiah was by design to save. Verse 6, the famine has been over the land for the last 2 years, and for yet another 5 years there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me ahead of you to ensure that you will have descendants on earth and to save your lives in a great deliverance. Yosef letting them know that it wasn't for naught, but it was all part of God's design to save them. And see how God turns around even the sins of the sons of Israel against their brother so that it ultimately benefits them. Something only God can do. The rejection by the leaders of Yeshua is eventually turned around, Zechariah 12:10 tells us, to be the salvation of the people of Israel. This is Torah 101 Daily.